Ezras Hashem Yizbarech, today's daf is daf ches in Maseches Shabbos. We are now zocha to the big 7-0, Ben Shivim L'seva, the Mishnah in Avos, in Perek Hei, teaches us that we're already old men in the daf yomi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach, Be'ezer Hashem, to go from Shivim to 2,000 and more. We pick up 6 lines from the bottom of Zayin on the base. Gufa. Amar Rav Chisda. Noatz Kaner Berushus HaYachid. If a person put a pole down in a Rishus HaYachid, Vizarech V'noch Al Gabov. And then, the pole, which is already sitting there from a while, the individual, let's call him Ruvain, throws on top of that pole. Afilu Gvoa Mea Amachayiv. Even if he's got a good arm, and it's very, very high up, it's 100 amos from the ground, nevertheless, Ruvain's chayiv mipnei, based on the concept that we learned yesterday, shirushus hayachid ola adorakia, rishus hayachid goes all the way up to the heavens. And for that reason, even if it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, where when it comes to rishus harabim, we consider that airspace a makum ptur, rishus hayachid goes to the heavens. Leimer of chizah da'amar k'rebi. The Gemara suggests, let us say that Rav Chisda follows the opinion of Rebbe. The Sanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Zarech v'nach al gabe ziz kol shehu, Rebbe mechayiv v'chachamim poitrim. The Braisa tells us that we have a machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim. When you have something that lands on an area that's less than 4x4, but otherwise can qualify as a Rishus HaYachid, whether you're going to be Chayiv or not. Rebbe says that you're Chayiv, the Chacham hold your potter because it's less than 4x4. We need one more piece of information to understand why the Gemara is connecting Rav Chisda, who says that you're Chayiv, with Rebbe that holds that you're Chayiv. Rashi on Zayin Amid Aleph tells us, in Dibar HaMaschil, Noatz Kana, that a Kana, the exact same case that Rav Chisda is talking about, is less than 4. The Gemara knew that as a Davar Pashut. It was a pole. A pole in those days, to even this day, are less than 4. Hence, if Rav Chisda is going to be a Chayiv you, it's going to only make sense according to Rebbe who holds at less than 4, you're Chayiv. While the Chacham hold that you're Potter. So we have a Raya, Lamer Rav Chisda, Da Amar Rebbe. That Rav Chisda seems to be following the opinion of Rebbe. The Gemara answers, we don't want Rav Chisda to be stuck only according to the Das Yachid. We want Rav Chisda to work even according to the Rabbanan. Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, Berushus HaYachid Dekulei Amalo Pligi Kid Rav Chisda. If it would be a regular status of Berushus HaYachid, then everybody would agree with Rav Chisda that says that you don't need a 4x4. Yet, why would it be that according to the Chachamim, your potter, L'chura, in this case, it landed on a ziz kol shehu, and your potter, because it's less than 4. The Gemara now suggests a different pshat. Abaye says you don't have to be tola one on the other. Elahacha be'ilan ha'ome b'rishus hayachid. Here we're talking about a very specific case where you have an ilan, a tree that's standing in rishus hayachid, v'nof enot el rishus harabim, and its branches are sticking out to rishus harabim. Think of a tree in your own backyard, or your own front yard that sticks out to the Rishus HaRabim. Vizarak v'noa anofo, and the individual threw from a Rishus HaRabim, and it landed into the tree whose branch is hanging into the Rishus HaRabim. The Rebbe Savar Amrin Shadi Noifo Basari Kare. Rebbe says we look at the ikar, we look at the trunk. If something lands on a tree, it's considered landing on the Rishus of its trunk. Rabbanan Savri, while the Rabbanan hold, Lo Amrinan Shadinofo Basar Ikro. This is a Daf Yomi bonus, because we had the Sugya on Daf Dalet on the Beis as well. The Rabbanan say that we look at the branches as independent of each other. Now we continue with another Gemara, another teaching of Abaye. This is actually not such an easy Gemara. Ezer Hashem Yisparech, let us tackle it. Amar Abaye, Zarak Kiveres. Kiveres is a beehive. Now the Gemara is going to discuss that there are times that a beehive is large enough to be its own Rishus. If it's large enough to be its own Rishus, then throwing a Rishus into another Rishus is not Chayiv. Rashi spells this out in Rochva Vav. We're going to do all the Rashis on this Sugya Bli Neder. Rashi spells out that if it reaches a certain size, it's a reshus la'atzma. Says Rashi, v'anan mi mishkan gamrinan. And we learn out from the Mishkan, she'yizarkin machtein bimlachtan zelazev lohi yizarkin reshuyas. What they threw in the Mishkan was they tossed needles, watch your hand, don't get poked, but they would throw needles back and forth, but they didn't throw reshuyas. So if a beehive is large enough to be its own reshus, then you would not be chayiv. That's why Abaye begins to discuss dimensions, and we get involved a little bit of geometry. Amar Abaye, Zarek Kaveris Rishus HaRabim, Givoy Yud Ve'eno Rechav Avav. If it is 10 high and not 6 wide, we're going to see in a moment the significance of the number 6, Chayiv. Then you're going to be Chayiv because it's not a separate Rishus. Rechav Avav, but if it's 6 wide, then it's Potter. Rav Amar Filu Eino Rechav Avav Potter. Rav, though, suggests that even if it's less than 6, you're also going to be potter. Before we discuss the position of Rava, let us understand what these numbers over here are, particularly the width of 6. We've learned in the past that normally if you have the width of 4, you're going to be chayv. So the width over here of 6 is significant because the kiveris is a circle, and Rashi explains to us how geometrically, 6 is a significant number. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Gvoa yud, klomar, afilu gvoa yud, even if it's 10 high, im einu rechav avav, ben tziyasa chayiv. Then one's going to be chayiv. Da'akati chayfetz ba'almahu. It's considered an object and not a separate rishus. Ve'einu rishus la'atzma, dulo avi rishus da'raisa. It would only be considered rishus da'raisa, ela gvoa yud, virachva dalet al dalet. Only if it's 4x4 wide, kidamrinim be'erivin. That we've already discussed earlier in the sugyas on Daf Vav. Dekol shiurin de Shabbos tzarechein va'alachson v'dov. All shiurim of Shabbos are defined by the objects themselves as well as their diagonal. In other words, up until now we've been discussing the size of an object vis-a-vis its length and width as if it was a square. But how do you calculate a circle? Of course, it is well known that the early Greeks, Lahavdil Elf Alfa Avdalos, also discussed this in developing theories of geometry. That's exactly what Chazal Lahavdil are going to do here as well. V'dover Ogul, when it comes to a circle, Kimarvis Lub Mesocho, when you make a square inside of it, umafke eagle shesava revua lo mishkachas be dalim mirubaim ilo havi eagle karov lishisha. In order for a circle to have an equal area to a square that's 4x4, the circle needs to be, so Rashi says, you would not be able to put a square of 4x4 inside of circle except if the circle iloa igula karav lishisha. If the circle's diameter, igulo here, we would translate into English as the diameter is equal to 6 tfachim. Kidamrinan gabe sukkah. This is a famous Rashi, where Rashi over here, as well as in sukkah dav zayin on the base, calculates the diameter of a circle. Ha gabisuko asuyin kikivshon dal karchach tzar shetimatze bisocho alachson shel dalid al dalid. In order to create a diagonal that corresponds to a square of 4x4, the kol tefach birivua, every tefach of a square for the diameter requires tefach utre chumshi, one tefach and another 2/5 alachsono on an angle. So if a person drew a square that is 4x4, and one wanted to draw a circle around it that is also 4x4, then one needs to add to the diameter of the circle that for every tefach in the square, another 2/5. Because, of course, if one is drawing the circle around the square is larger than the square. And therefore, the diameter of a circle that's drawn around a square that is 4x4 will actually be, if it's 1/2 for every tefach, 1/2 times 4 will be 5 3/5. Rashi then points out that our Gemara does not say 5 3/5, but rather our Gemara says 6. In other words, in order for something in its circular form, to have the din of Dalit al Dalit, it needs itself to have a diameter of 6. We just did the math that 1 and 2 fifths times 4 is going to be 5. 5 and 3 fifths, not 6. So Rashi goes on to point out that Abaye rounded it off, lechumra, and the only time you're going to be chayiv is if we know for sure that is 4 by 4, and if it's already a diameter of 6, so then for sure you're going to be chayiv. This is the position of Abaye. We calculate the diameter that would allow a square of 4 by 4 to be included in the circle, and that is going to be a chiyuv for Shabbos. If it is less than that, because in such a case, then the object is not considered a separate rishus. If it's larger than that, then one is going to be potur, because it's considered as if one threw a rishus. Rava is going to disagree. Rava Amar afilu einu rechava vav potur maitayma I efshar lekromio shokana shelo yalu lemala me'asara. Rava makes the following argument. If we're talking about a keveris that's already 10 tachim high, so then there's going to be a little bit of the beehive, which was made out of some type of wood that was attached together in some type of weaving process, that part of the wood, or even bamboo, is going to be sticking up. Think about your schach from Sukkot, that there is a little bit of wood that's often jutting out because not easy to cut it smoothly, and therefore, if it was exactly 10, there's going to be some wood that's going to be sticking out, which is going to make the keveres, the beehive, more than 10 tefachim. Once it reaches more than 10 tefachim, Rashi and Dibra Maskel Yevshar explains that in such a case, it's the keveres is already in a makom patur, and therefore you have not thrown it, the object, only into a rishus harabim. Maitami yefshel kramei shalkan shlo yalu lemala me'asara. The Gemara continues now with another case. What happens if the beehive is not landing on its bottom, but rather is landing with its top pointed down? Kofa alpia. If it's landing with its mouth coming down, so now let's construct in our minds, if you have one of those handy Gemaras or internet applications that shows the different instances and diagrams of the Gemara, let us visualize the utensil now face down. So its walls are now facing down. Now we have a rule, and that is the rule, good asik mechitzos, and that is that mechitzos can protrude halachically downwards, and we have a concept of lavud, and that is when an object is less than 3 tefachim from the ground, we consider it attached to the ground. With that in mind, let's continue on in the Gemara. Kaf al pi, if it's turned over, shiva umashu chayiv. Then in such a case, once it's 7 and a little, you're going to be chayiv. Shiva umechza potter. But if it's 7.5, one is going to be potter. In order to understand this, let's start with the second case, shiva umechza. We mentioned the concept of lavud, that when you have an object that's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, then we consider it still attached from the ground. So if we have a kli that is already 7.5 tefachim, that means that when the object is falling into the rishus, once it reaches within 3 tefachim of the ground, freeze frame. You stop it right there, because then it's already considered attached to the ground. Now let's analyze our freeze frame. It's now 2 tefachim, and 2 9/10 tefachim from the ground. How high is now the kli when its edge is 2 9/10 tefachim from the ground? In such a case, it is higher than 10 tefachim if it's 7, and the utensil is 7.5 tefachim high, because 7.5 plus 2 9/10 is more than 10. We said that the only time you're going to be chayiv is if the object lands entirely in the rishus hayachid. Here, the top of the kli at the freeze frame is sticking out of 10 tefachim, above 10 tefachim from the ground. It's now in a makom patur. You have not thrown this object into a rishus harabim. You have thrown it with part of it being in a makom patur. Hence, you're going to be patur. Kafa al piya, back into the Gemara. Shivo mashu, if it's only a little bit more than seven, so then when it comes, let's say it's seven and a tenth of tfachim, so then when it comes into the freeze frame of lavud, so then let's say 2 9/10, we say lavud, we calculate, it's perfect. 10 tfachim from the ground, it landed in the Rishus Harabim. And then you're going to be chayiv. However, if it's 7.5 tfachim, lavud, 2 9/10, plus 7.5, nope. It's above 10 tfachim from the ground. Part of it is in a makom patur. Hence, you're going to be potter. Ravashi takes a different approach. Ravashi amar afilu shivu umechza chayiv. Ravashi says that even if part of it is considered halachically above 10 tfachim, nevertheless, you're still going to be chayiv. Why? My time mi. Mechitzos l'sochan asuyos. The mechitzos weren't made at all. On this, we've got an upside down kli over here. The mechitzos weren't made to prop up the object. The mechitzos were made to hold food. So you're using these mechitzos to make the kli larger than it was supposed to be. Mechitzos l'sochan asuyos. The mechitzos are made to hold food inside of it. It's not made to stand up the object. Hence, you don't calculate the mechitzos in terms of defining the height of the object. You calculate the mechitzos only vis-a-vis the things that are inside of it. So it's true. If you turned it upside down, then in such a case, then it would be more than 10 tfachim. But the mechitzos weren't made for that. Hence, the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv, and we consider it all below 10 tfachim, even though technically the edge of it is a little bit above 10 tfachim, but mechitzos l'sochan asuyos, and we consider the object entirely within 10 tfachim. Our intense Amud continues with Ula. Now the Amoraim, after we had the basic Klolim of the Tanoim for six, seven Dapim, now the Amoraim begin to pound away with the nuances of the Talmud, the nuances of Gemara. Amar Ula, Amud Tisha Bershus HaRabim, V'Rabim Mikasvin Alav. If you have a pole that is 9 in Rishus HaRabim, and many people fix their objects on top of it. V'zarek v'nochal gabov, chayiv. And someone throws something on top of it, you're chayiv. My time, why is that so? Pachos mishlosha medris darsile rabim, mishlosha la'atisha lo midris darsile. Up until 3 tfachim, people walk over that area in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's definitely related to the Rishus HaRabim. From 3 to 9, in many ways, it's a no-man's zone. Lo midris darsile, people don't walk on top of it. If you have something that's 4 tfachim high, people will not simply walk on it. They don't look at that as a step. They'll go around it. Velo ksufi mikasve, but at the same time, they also don't use it to fix their objects that they're carrying. It's too low. Tisha vadai mikasven ale, but a 9, then people fix their objects on it. The Rosh and the end of Simin Tezvav says, for that reason, something that's between 3 and 9 tfachim will not be considered a Rishus HaRabim, and if it is 4 tfachim wide, so then in such case it's a Karmelis, and if not, it's considered a Makom Ptur. For something to be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, it needs to be related to it. Says Rashi Dibar Maslam Mikasvi Laveh, that if it's more than 9 tfachim, kivan ditzarech l'rabim, since the Rabim needed it, Rishus HaRabim, then it's considered Rishus HaRabim, bein rachav, bein katzer, whether it is wide or whether it is thin. So again, Ula has taught us that if it's less than 3 tfachim, it definitely corresponds to the Rishus HaRabim. Between 3 and 9 is very much a no-man's zone. From 9 to 10, it's considered the tzorech of the Rishus HaRabim, whether, Rashi Bayah says, whether it's wide or it's thin, and therefore the halacha is, if one puts something on it, or throws something on it, as in the case of Ula, one is going to be chayiv if one has done a hanocha in a Rishus HaRabim, and if you threw from the Rishus HaYachid, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas Bayask and the Bach on the Tzadi Aleph Amabez points out that Rashi in Dibra Maschil Inema on Tzadi Aleph Amabez seems to contradict himself. This is a a woozy, a very strong kasha. It's a detail, but still a strong question. Rashi Baya said that when it's 9 tfachim, people fix their objects on it, whether it's wide or whether it's narrow. Rabbi Kiva Eger, with his awesome Shas lens, pointed out that Rashi and Sadi Aleph on the Bay seem to say two words that contradict what Rashi Baya says. That there Rashi says that people fix their objects on it whether it's when it's 4 tfachim wide. Rashi Baya seem to say whether it's wide or whether it's narrow. Bezer Hashem, when we learn these Dap and Bi'iyun, there's something we have to break our head on. In the meantime, let us break our heads on knowing the dapim of Gemara Rashi well, and knowing the basic halachos that emerge. Gemara continues, 10 lines from the bottom. Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef, Guma Mai. The Gemara continues, Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef, Guma Mai. Now that we've got through saying that something that's from 9 to 10 tefachim high, that it aids for a person in his fixing his objects in the Rishus HaRabim, what would the halacha be in regards to a trench? A person could use a trench in the Rishus HaRabim to be able to leave his belongings when he needs to do something else in the Rishus HaRabim. That also considered Srichim Lo L'Rabim? So here we have two opinions. Amar Le, V'chein B'gumah, he said, yes, the same applies to a trench. Rava Amar, Rava disagreed with his great friend Abaye. No, beguma lo. My time at tashmish al yedei adchak lo shmei tashmish. It is true, every once in a while, people will use that area. But at the end of the day, that's only tashmish al yedei adchak. In difficult situations, they use it. It's not considered sorech rabim, and therefore, Rashi adds, it's considered a karmelis. The Gemara attempts a question on Rava, who says that we don't view the guma as being part of the Rishus HaRabim. Esvei Ravada bar Masna the Rava. He asked him the following question. If a person had a box of his that was sitting in the Rishus HaRabim, that it's high 10 tvachim and 4 tvachim wide, it's considered a separate shus, and therefore you can't carry from it to the Rishus HaRabim, and not from the Rishus HaRabim inside of it. Pachos Mikain, continues the Braisa, mitaltalin, you're allowed to be metalto. Okay, that's a box. Our subject is a guma. V'chein biguma. The same thing regards to a trench. That if you have a trench that is less than 10 tefachim high, you're allowed to be metalto from the box or a trench into a Rishus HaRabim. Why are you allowed to do it? It must be because it has a din of a Rishus HaRabim. So we see that a guma, even though Rava alleged that tashmish is al yedei hadchak, nevertheless, the halach is we consider it as part of the Rishus HaRabim. Answers the Gemara, that's not a raya. Because my lava seifa, you had said that the guma, pachos mikain, metaltalin. If it's less than that, then you can't be metaltal. Answers the Gemara, loy aresha. It's not saying that less than that it has a din of Rishus HaRabim, but rather that if it's 10 high, the trench, and 4 wide, then it's considered a Rishus HaYachid. In regards to its status vis-a-vis Rishus HaRabim, if it's entirely considered Rishus HaRabim, no. Maybe it's not considered a full Rishus HaRabim because its tashmish is only al yedei adchak and would have a din of karmelis, and therefore it's different than the kufsa, where we said that the halacha is that there's no prohibition in being metaltal from the kufsa to the Rishus HaRabim itself when it's small, because it becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim, and it's different than a trench. The Gemara attempts another kasha on Rava that says, Tashmish al yedei adchak, lo yishmei tashvish. Esve, going on to Chesam and Beis, Neskavim lishbos b'Rishus HaRabim, v'iniach e reuvei b'bor, l'mala me'asar tvachim. We know the concept of a reuvei tchumin, and that is that if a person wants to extend his tchum, the Torah HaKadosha says, al yetzei ishmi mekoimoy, that a person has a tchum, which we will, Beis Hashem, get to in the middle of Maseches Erevin, in order to accept your extend your tchum, there's a tchum d'Rabbanan, there's a tchum d'Oraisa, in order to extend your tchum, if you put down a su'uda in a particular place, so then that your kone shvisa, that is your area, and you're allowed to carry even further another alpayim amma, another 2,000 amos. What if a person put down his eriv, but he made a little bit of a problem for us and for himself? Us from the perspective of halacha, himself, bottom line, does he have an eruv or does he not? He put his eruv in a bar. Lemala me'asarim sarat fachim. He put it in a bar more than 10 tfachim. Now the definition over here, more than 10 tfachim, is going to be critical in terms of learning pshat. We're not going to define it yet, because it depends on whether we're in the Havamina or the Maskana, what it means, more than 10 tfachim. Eruv e'eriv, the halacha is that he constructed a valid eruv. Lemata me'asar tfachim, if he put it in less than 10 tfachim, so then in such a case, again, what exactly less than 10 tfachim means, we're going to discuss in a moment. Ein eruv e'eriv, it's not a valid eruv. So ostensibly what we have, the Braisa tells us that more than 10, it's acceptable, less than 10, it's not acceptable. The Gemara now analyzes. What exactly does it mean, more than 10, less than 10? Hechidami, ilema babor di isbe asara, that when we talk about more than 10, we mean a bar that's larger than 10 tfachim. Ulamala, and when it means that he put it above 10, it means didiloiv osvi, that if he was standing in the bar, he would have to go up and bring it down. In other words, it's above 10 tfachim from the ground of the pit. Ulamata, and less than 10, ditatoiv osvi, he's going to have to bend down to get it. So asks the Gemara, mali ma lamala, umali lamata. What does it make a difference whether it's above 10 or less than 10? He is in the Rishus HaRabim. He's trying to be Konesh Shvisa, and he put his Eruv in a bar, which is more than 10 Tvachim, which means he put in a separate Rishus. So he can't be Konesh Shvisa in such a way. Something to keep in mind, that when we put down an Eruv Tumin, it has to be in the same Rishus of the Rishus HaRabim. Elo lav bibar deles be'asara. So you got to learn that the pshat is that we're talking about a bar that's less than 10 tfachim high. And therefore, it's considered related to the Rishus HaRabim. Uktani eruv eruv, and we learn that the eruv is valid. Alma tashmish alidei etchak shmei tashmish. It's connected to the Rishus HaRabim. Even though people in the Rishus HaRabim don't hang out in trenches that are less than 10 tfachim, nevertheless, since it's sometimes used, it's considered tashmish alidei etchak, which we consider a tashmish, and we consider the Erev as being connected to the Rishus HaRabim. So what do we see? If it's something that's less than 10, its tashmish is considered significant, even though it's only used al yidei atchak, and it's considered related to the Rishus HaRabim. Plug it back in. We had a machlokis between Abaye and Rava, whether we consider the Guma as connected to the Rishus HaRabim as not, or not. Abaye said, Tashmish al yidei atchak shmei tashmish, and therefore it's connected. Rava said it's not connected. Here we have a proof that it is connected to Rishus HaRabim because the Erev works. Says the Gemara, there are a couple of terutzim that we could do, that Rava gave, to be able to answer this question. Zimna mishanile, there were times that Rava gave the following teretz. Hu ve'ruve be'karmelis. We're not talking about a Rishus HaRabim. Here we're talking about a Karmelis. And as we're going to see in a moment, that even if we say Tashmish al Yedei Atchak, lo shmei Tashmish, if we're talking about quote-unquote only a Karmelis, which is only an Issur Darabanan, so then in such a case, there'll be room to be Mekel. First, the Gemara has to say, well, v'amai kari lo Rishus HaRabim. Then why did you call it a Rishus HaRabim? The Braisa says, Niskan Lishbos Rishus HaRabim, first three words on our Amud. It doesn't say Karmelis. Says the Gemara, Lefisha in Rishus HaYachid. Because it's not considered a Rishus HaYachid. Since it's not a Rishus HaYachid, we have the right to call it a Rishus HaRabim. This might fit in Lomdus-wise, if Karmelis is a Rishus HaRabim mid-Rabbanon, so then Chazal called it a Rishus HaRabim from their perspective. So the first answer that Rava used to give is that he would say, no Kasha! We're talking about a Karmelis and a Karmelis. We're talking about where the individual wants to be called a Shvisa and a Karmelis, and he put the Erev in an area that's also a Karmelis. What's that area that's also a Karmelis? That's the area of trench that's less than 10 Tvachim. So then he was called a Shvisa. Beautiful. He didn't put it in a totally distinct Rishus. He wanted to be called a Shvisa in a Karmelis, and he put it in a Karmelis next to the Karmelis. Beautiful. That's going to be fine. Vizimni Mishanile, and sometimes Rava will give another answer, a little bit more of a complex answer. Really, we all Tashmish al Yedei Atchak, lo Shmei Tashmish. And if we were talking about in Konesh Shvisa in a Rishus HaRabim, then the Erev is not considered Rishus HaRabim. However, there is an Amanda Amr who says that works, nevertheless. Who Birshus Aram Veiruve Bekarmelis? Even if he is in Rishus Aram and Zeirvin is in a Karmelis, there is a lenient opinion of Rebbe. Verebbe he da Amr called Avershim Mishum Shvus Lo Gazru Alav Bein Hashmashos. Rebbe's of the opinion that any time we're talking about Isser Darabanan, we're going to be Mekel Bein Hashmashos. Rashi explains that if the fellow attempts to be Kone the Eriv, to be Kone his Shvisa during Bein Hashmashos, so then the fact that his Eriv is in a Karmelis and he's in a Rishus Rabim is not going to be a problem. Of course, the halacha is that in general, an Eriv has to be in the same Rishus as a person. The Eriv Tchumen is not going to work. However, during twilight, during Bein Hashmashos, the halacha is that we're Mekel on Isurei Durabanan. Why are we Mekel on Isurei Durabanan? According to Rebbe, in the sugya of Erevin, we say that Isurei Durabanan, we're not Machmir on during the twilight zone because it's not for sure Shabbos as it is. If you will, it's something akin to the idea of a double suffix. Number one, Min HaTorah, it's Mutter. Min HaTorah, there's no problem in carrying altogether. And number two, if you're in a twilight zone, that might not be Usser at all. So it's similar, even more precisely, to a din of suffik derabanan. So since the whole shaila that we're dealing with is only a derabanan as it is, because we're only talking about a karmelis to a rishus harabim, so if we were talking about a rishus harabim and a rishus hayachid, the erev was in a rishus hayachid, then you have to be machmir, because then it's in a totally an adoraisa level, a totally different rishus. But since this entire rishus has only been created as a distinct rishus on a level of a derabanan, so then in such a case Chazal did not make its gzeros during Bein Hashmashos. And if the kinyan was being done in Bein Hashmashos, it will be acceptable. Bottom line is, however we explain the shita of Rebbe, Rebbe holds that the halacha is that one could be kone an Erev when the Erev is in a Karmelis, because at the end of the day, Chazal did not create its gzera of Karmelis during Bein Hashmashos, and we view the Erev as being connected to him in the Rishus HaRabim. Rava continues, and Rava realizes that some people think that he's just giving fantastic answers in order to squeeze out of a problem. Says Rava, it's not true. V'lo teima d'chuya kamatchinalach, that I'm just giving answers that are difficult. Ela dafka kaminalach. No, I think my shita is correct. This not because I've got a Mishnah behind me, says Rava. Im hoya rakak mayim v'rishus harabim ma'alechespo, the Mishnah later on in Kuf Amabez describes a small stream that has the Rishus HaRabim, in other words, the public, passing over. Hazarik L'socha Dalar HaMishchayiv. If you throw an object that traverses over this swamp, it's considered throwing four Amas in the Rishus HaRabim and Chayiv. Then you're a Chayiv. V'kamahu Rakak Mayim. And what qualifies as a small swamp that it's not considered Rishus by itself? Pachos miyut fachim, if it is less than 10 fachim deep of water. V'rakak mayim sherishus harab mahaleches bo, hazorek l'sochol dalet amis chayiv. And if you have this rakak that the rishus harab passes through it, then in such a case, if you throw it over, you're going to be chayiv. Now, Rava points out that this Mishnah is very superfluous. The entire second half, Virakak Mayim, or the last line that we read, Virakak Mayim Shavishus Aram Malechas Bo Asar Gesoch Daud Amis Chayiv, we could have inferred every single part of it from the first part. Why do we need both of them? So Rava points out that both the description of the Rakak, as well as Rava will point out Malechas, are coming to tell us Chidushin. Bishlem Rakak Rakak Trey Zimni, one is telling us the idea that this halacha about the rakak applies in the summertime and the other in the wintertime. If it only said the summertime, I would have thought that over there we consider it part of the Rishus HaRabim. David initially krui nafshayu. People like to go inside to cool themselves down. Al mosak shamim emelo. But maybe in the wintertime the halacha would be different. If it had said the halacha in regards to the wintertime, agav de mitnif mikri v'nachis, so people go inside in order to clean themselves off from the dirt of the Rishus HaRabim. Aval b'imos hachama lo tzricha, Lo, but during the summer times, people don't do that, and for that reason, it's not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Sricha, that's why we need both cases to be Mechadesh, that Rakak is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. This stream is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, both in the summer as well as the winter. Elihiluch Shrei Zimni Lamali. Why did we need to emphasize the fact that Rishus HaRabim Mahaleches Bo, both in the opening part as well as in that last line, what is called the Seifa? Why do we need to emphasize them in both cases? Elalav, it must be it's coming to tell us that even if a person passes through when it is not so common, in other words, most people don't pass through, every once in a while people do, that is considered a hiluch, and therefore it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Deduces Rava, the biggest chiddush you have in all of Tannaitic literature is this idea. And that is that hiluch al yidei hadchak shmei hiluch. Now there's a bigger chiddush, according to you, Abaye, that could have been learned. And that is tashmish al yidei hadchak. What about tashmish al yidei hadchak? We have no Tannaitic material that tells us that tashmish al yidei hadchak shmei tashmish. The only thing we have is hiluch al yidei hadchak. So the biggest chiddush we have is this double lashon, hiluch al yidei hadchak, coming to teach us that that's called Shmei Hiluch. Deduces Rava, Tashmish Al Yidei Adchak, Lo Shmei Tashmish. Tashmish Al Yidei Adchak is not considered a Tashmish, and the Gemara likes it. Shema Mina, this is a proof that we hear from this Mishnah later on in Kuf Amud Beis. Our last halacha that we will conclude the daf with in the Gemara Rashi is actually one that many can visualize this time of year. It's post Sukkot when this daf falls out and people are taking apart their sukkahs. Amar of Yehuda, Hai Zriza de Kani, Rami Vizakfe, Rama Vizakfe, Lo Mechayiv Ada Akale. If you have reeds, very similar to the way Schach is made today, Rashi says, Chavila Shal Kani Marukim, and he moves them in the Rishus HaRabim by turning them over. Sometimes it's easier to move a 10 by 10 board instead of dragging it, but raising it up and letting it fall to its other side, and then once again turning it over and over and over as a way of transporting it. Says the Gemara, in such a case, he is not chayiv because he didn't do an akira. Bezer Hashem, in our halacha section, we will discuss the implications of this Gemara. We'll conclude that Chesam and Bez a little bit early because the next Gemara goes well into the next daf, Askufa, and it's a world by itself. And Bezer Hashem, tomorrow we'll have our work cut out for ourselves again. Bezer Hashem, let's go to the halacha and see important halacha lemaisa applications from this. Bezer Hashem, our first halacha topic from daf Ches is the use of wheelchairs on Shabbos. Pushing a wheelchair, an individual wheeling himself. The Gemara that's relevant is the last Gemara that we had concluded with the daf with, Amar of Yehuda, Hai Zriza Dekani, and this is a case where a small mistake that Baruch Hashem, the Rishonim, catch us from making, a small mistake can actually change the halacha dramatically. If a person reads the Gemara very quickly and does not know Shas, they can come to the wrong conclusion. The Gemara says that you're allowed to differentiate between the transport of an object either from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or four Amos and Rishus HaRabim and the transport of large reeds that are turned over and over and transported in the Rishus HaRabim. One can easily get the mistaken impression that the Gemara is saying that since it's traveling along the ground and you're not doing Akira, the halacha is that you're not going to be Chayiv and it's not an Isur D'Oraisa on Shabbos. That would be relevant when you have a chola that is sick. Could a Gentile push a wheelchair for him? It's an Isser D'Rabbanan on behalf of a chola. However, Tosas and the Rush both point out, without talking about a wheelchair, that this would be a mistaken understanding of both the Gemara as well as Shas. The Gemara in Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, as well as the Gemara in Ksubis in the third Perek, outlines a case in which an individual drags an object along the ground. The Gemara there is discussing the sugya of kimle bidravimine, someone who steals by dragging a kiss on Shabbos from one domain to another. And the Gemara says that he's been over on both Isurim, stealing in the Isur of Shabbos. So Tosis points out as well as the Rosh Tosas in the Bar Maskel Lo Mechayiv, halfway through the Tosas, the dragging, if it's a normal, is actually an Isur D'oraisa. What's the difference between our case and the case of dragging? So Tosas points out that when one turns the object over in our sugya, you were never oker the object. You never remove the object from one place. There's no heter of moving an object along the ground. To which then Tosas concludes, and here we get closer to the case of wheelchairs. He says, if a person rolls a barrel for Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, or Mirshus HaYachad the Rishus HaRabim, in such a case, that would constitute an Isur D'oraisa. That would be Chayiv. Hence, it is for this reason that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalad Simin Sadi, I believe, took it as a Dover Poshut, that another person would not be able to push a wheelchair, because Gorer is going to be in Isur D'oraisa, and Tosas applied it as well, to the case of rolling a barrel. The only points that another person will be able to do to help someone who is in a wheelchair, where, of course, there's no Erev. Where there's an Erev, there's a tremendous mitzvah. But where there is no Erev, so then in such a case, since it's less than Dalet Amos, Rav Moshe says if an individual is rolling himself along in the cases that it's mutter, as we'll discuss shortly, and he gets stuck by a curb, since it's less than Dalet Amos, you're allowed to lift him up. However, to bring him into a shul that doesn't have a ramp, this is another reason why Chochma Bagoyim handicap ramps are important, both for the kavod of disabled people, as well as from the perspective of halacha, because on Shabbos, if there's only steps, to pick him up would be problematic. The only suggestion Rav Moshe has is to have two different goyim. You can't have one goy doing the malacha d'oraisa. Rav Moshe doesn't feel that this is enough of a tzorich. The person in the wheelchair could have stayed home and davened. There were many times that Gedolei HaPoskim said, stay home. Don't violate even an Isur D'Rabbanan in order to be able to go to shul. So Rav Moshe's only suggestion is to have two Gentiles picking up the chair. One Gentile doing the first half, and then another one doing the second half. Very, very tedious and complicated. This halacha all starts from our Tosas and the Rush that points out, don't make a mistake from our Gemara. Finally, one should point out that this does not apply. The halacha changes dramatically if we're not talking about someone else pushing the wheelchair, but we're talking about the disabled person rolling their own wheelchair. If they're rolling the wheels, then the halacha is very different. There are different explanations of why it's different. Let's first start with Ramesha's. Ramesha in the same tshuva says that if the individual is rolling his own wheels, so then in such a case, if he cannot walk on his own, so then Ramesha argues that the wheelchair is no different than a shoe. That just like the halacha is that an individual is allowed to carry a shoe, because that's the derech for him to go, so too an individual who needs his wheelchair, that's his derech for him to go. Hence, it would be acceptable. Rav Moshe points out that this halacha even applies to someone who needs a walking stick, that we paskin Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Aleph, Sif Tezvav, and Sif Yud Zayin, that a person who cannot walk without a cane is allowed to use a cane on Shabbos, even in Rishus HaRabim. Certainly, says Rav Moshe, a chair which he's sitting on, which a wheelchair, would definitely be acceptable. What is absolutely fascinating about this tshuva is Ramesha Zatzal wrote this tshuva in Tamiz, Tovshin Lamed Beis, to whom? To Dayan Grosnas in London. There is a tshuva from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank to the same Dayan Grosnas in London, which is dated Sivan Tovshin Yud Ches, approximately 15 years before Ramesha's tshuva, where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank did not develop Rav Moshe's approach at all, and came out in a very different place. Of course, al Rav Moshe dayo lismoch, to what we saw in Maseches Brachos, kedai Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas hadchak, for sure Rav Moshe Feinstein, one could say, Kedai Rav Moshe L'smoch Alo B'Shas Hadchak. But it's interesting to note that the other great Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Chelek Aleph Simin Kuf Ayin, argues that crutches and stumps and sticks and a cane have more room to be lenient and considered less of Hotzah than a wheelchair. Rav Moshe said, certainly a wheelchair. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the opposite Svara. He says, when it comes to those things, like a stick or a stump, those things could directly aid he himself in walking. He's walking. And since he's walking, they serve the same purpose as a shoe does. However, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the wheelchair, the fellow is not moving at all. It's aiding his, it's abetting him from moving one stop to place to the next, but it's not helping in the process of walking. Therefore, it's less a part of the individual and a separate entity, and therefore, it could very well be, he argues, that it would be problematic. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank does say that he wrote this, what he calls, b'chipazon, quickly, and he doesn't conclude halacha l'maisa, but these are two fascinating different approaches by the two Gedolei Poskim. Our second topic, l'alocha from Daf Ches on the Beis, are some points about the appropriate placement of an Eruv Tchumen. Of course, we know that the Torah HaKdosha tells us, al yetzei ish mimkomo, that there is an iser for a person to go out of a tchum 2,000 amos. If a person wants to go further than 2,000 amos out of his tchum, of course, all of the details of the above we will discuss in Mirtz Hashem Seches Erevin. If a person wants to go out, then at the end of the 2,000 amos outside the city, they put down a basic meal, a simple meal, and they will kone shvisa for another 2,000 amos. Our Gemara discussed this Eruv and pointed out that in order for a person at first glance to have been kone shvisa, the Eruv has to be something that he could retrieve. If he wants his shvisa to be in a Rishus HaRamim, for example, it cannot be put in a Rishus HaYochid. Let us apply that halacha l'maisa. In Simin Tov Tes, the Mechaber writes, Siv Beis, Tzarech Shehu Ve'eruvoi B'makom Echad. You need to have him and his Eruv in one place, Kedei Shehei Efsher Lo Lechlo Bein HaShmoshos, in order to be able, it has to be accessible to him for it to work. The whole concept is that this individual does not have only a primary living in the city, but he also has a primary living 2,000 amos outside the city. That's why he's got his food there. Lefichach in the Skan Lishbos Bereshus Rabin. For that reason, bottom line, if a person intends to go and put his makom in Rishus Rabin, v'iniach eruva Bereshus Hayachid, and he put his eruv in the Rishus Hayachid, o Bereshus Hayachid v'inicho eruva Bereshus Rabin, eino eruv. She efshar lo lahotzi mirushus hayochid lirushus harabim bein hashmashos ela ba'avera. This is the Shulchan Aruch codifying what we learned on Chesam Beis. Now this comes up every once in a while because people are thinking about making their eruv that they want to walk further to someone else. For example, someone in a bungalow colony has a simcha and there it's very easy to walk out of the tchum by another bungalow colony and he wants to put down an eruv. Now, he's looking for a place to put down his eruv, and he puts it in an area that's a Rishus HaYachid. That's a problem if he had no intention to be Kona Shvisa in that Rishus HaYachid. Let's say, according to law, he's not allowed to go into that Rishus HaYachid. That would be quite problematic, and it could very well be that the Eruv is not a valid Eruv. Okay, so we're, on the one hand, the Eruv needs to be, this is spelled out later in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tov Tes, that needs to be in a very specific place, or even a makom hamishumar, yet at the same time, you can't put it in a Rishus HaYachid if you have no shaykhis, this Rishus HaYachid. So where should you put it? So here, the next part of our Gemara as well is going to be relevant. The Gemara discusses what about putting an Eruv in a Carmelis. The Gemara was in the process of proving whether a trench is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, part of a Carmelis. And the Gemara says that even though one is allowed to put an Eruv in a trench, that does not prove a trench is part of the Rishus HaRabim. And the reason for that, says the Gemara, is because the kinyan of Shvisa of an Eruv that takes place during Bein HaShmashos
does not differentiate between a Rishus HaRabim and a Carmelis. Because at the end of the day, in Bein HaShmashos, Chazal did not make their Gzeira. And this is found as well in Shulchan Aruch. Tof Tes, second half of Halacha Beis. Avol Niskavein Lishvos B'Rishus HaYachar B'Rishus HaRabim V'Yiniach Eruvo B'Carmelis Osh Niskavein Lishvos B'Carmelis V'Yiniach Eruvo B'Rishus HaYachar or B'Rishus HaRabim Hareze Eruv. You're allowed to put it in an area that would only be considered a Carmelis, even though your intention is to be in the Rishus HaRabim. It is considered a Varel Eruv. Why? Shebishas Knias Eruv Shu Bein HaShmashos Muta Lahotzi Lahachnis Bikol Echa Mishtei Rishu Yis LeCarmelis LeDvar Mitzvah. Because Chazal didn't make the Gzeira on Bein HaShmashos, the Shulchan Aruch adds LeDvar Mitzvah. Shekol Dover Shumi Divrei Seifrim Loi Gazru Alav Rabban. Anything that's Midi Rabbanan, Chazal did not make a gzeira. This Gemara is also found in Erevin on Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara in Erevin Lamed Beis points out another place where a person might be very likely to put an Erev, which at first glance, Lechura, should be a place that's inaccessible according to Halacha. And that is a tree. Midrabanan, there is an Iser to use a tree, as well as spells out the Mishabur and Sivkat on Yud, that a tree has a din of a Carmelis. However, La Halacha, if there's no other place, a person can hang a bag on a sturdy tree. We'll emphasize that in a moment. A tree that's not likely to have branches break from it. In such a case, it would be acceptable only because we follow this lenient opinion that the Kinyan Shmisa takes place Bein HaShmashos, and Bein HaShmashos Chazal didn't make it Gzera on Carmelis, or for that matter, the Is of using a tree. There are, the post can point out, other shvusim that could be still applied Bein HaShmashos, but these do not. The Oz V'Hadar Mishneh Brura does an excellent job in Oz Chavav in collecting all of those shvusim that do apply Bein HaShmashos. But for our purposes, both the use of an Ilan and Carmelis, as we learned in our Gemara, does not apply. One last point. Siv Gimel in Shulchan Aruch there says that the heter will only apply to those trees which are not likely for an individual to snap off a twig. But those trees or plants that are thin and easy to snap, and it's likely or there's a good chance that he will come to kotzer, that gezeira applies as well. So bottom line is, a person can hang their Erev Tchumen onto a tree. However, be careful to hang it onto a tree which is sturdy and not one that might bring a person to come and cut a branch or twig. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha topics from Daf Ches.